and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, enjoying my time with all of you here on my comfy couch, listening to the rainfall outside and some occasional outbursts from the puppies as they chase a squirrel off my back deck that's trying to steal my bird's food. And even though the weather has taken a slight rise this week, we're still having cold temperatures, so please remember to take care of your outdoor animals. Feed the birds, because they need it right now. I feed mine all year long and have bird baths all over the place just to make sure that they have the sustenance that they need should they need it. And I'm super excited this week because I've attracted a new flock of crows to my backyard. Even though farmers are not friends of crows, crows are super intelligent birds. They're just amazing. If you could ever get close enough and make friends with one, they're the bomb. I had one years ago that I used to feed outside the back deck at my then very toxic workplace before I decided to cut the chains, break free, and do my own thing and be my own boss. And that little guy would leave me little bits of string and pennies and paper clips and little pieces of the tinfoil you get from the gum wrappers as a way of thank you, and would bring all his friends by. And every time I entered and left the building, they would be talking to me. They're so cool, and they're super intelligent. And you know what? If the grid were to go down, or if there were to be some sort of major occurrence where we didn't have internet and we didn't have communication, something like a crow could come in very handy. Carrier pigeons could come in handy. Just something to think about. Make friends with your nature pets, because you never know when they're going to come in handy. If you know how to read them and their signs and pay attention, close attention to nature, they will warn you of danger, not only by their actions, but animals like crows may very well come to you and chatter at you and caw at you and call to you to let you know that something's amiss. And their absence can speak volumes as well. If you normally have nature in your backyard, even if it's a city lot, and they're all of a sudden isn't any, that's definitely something you want to pay attention to as well. That's not a good sign. In our first clip of the night, Trump seems to care for birds too, as he talks about the windmills whacking them.
We are screwing around with wind. Oh, wind. These people are crazy. They say, oh, it's great for the environment. Yeah, it kills all your birds. You want to see a bird cemetery? Walk under a windmill sometime. Got birds all over the place. They're screaming for help. They got whacked. The environmentalists, it's an environmental dream. You know why? Because you're never going to have energy. They're the most expensive form of energy there is. 10 times more expensive than clean natural gas. 10 times much more expensive than coal. And not very unreliable. Like if they wanted to watch us tonight on television. Alice, I want to watch the president tonight. I'm sorry, darling, but the windmills aren't blowing.
He speaks a lot of truth in that statement. Birds are getting killed. And that really is a terrible thing, because it's our job to take care of nature and those that are less fortunate than us and those that can't defend themselves. I believe I can fly. Hopefully everybody's been working on their energy this week to stay positive and stay chill, not let the news mess you up and get you all anxious and excited. There has been a whole lot of talk this week about the tariff situation and the economy, and the liberals are positively apoplectic about Trump supposedly ruining the economy. There are a lot of people out there on both sides, actually, that feel as though this may be something that causes the financial collapse. That theory has some teeth to it. We have to look at things from a prophecy perspective, as well as from a logistical perspective, and from a realistic viewpoint. What does your gut tell you? Have you been working enough on your intuition yet to get twinges one way or the other? This kind of stuff's going to become important down the line. But this is also why I have been telling everybody for years to prepare, make sure you have enough food and water for your family, Make sure that you have alternate forms of funds, i.e. gold, silver. People are into the crypto. I'm not. I don't have a lot of faith, at least in the ones that were shown to me. The ones that were particularly shown to me, my friends were like, you should invest in this. I got a really bad feeling from. And I know that there are some Luciferian codes embedded in some of that stuff. So the ones that I personally was shown, I'm not a fan. Also, if it's not tangible, not physical, where I can hold it in my hand and say, I own this, not a fan. My perspective might change on that later, but that's my stance for now. So he is trying to rebuild the economy, and I totally can appreciate what he says he's trying to do and what he says he will achieve. And we always need to keep in mind the bigger picture. I believe this is Maria Bartiromo reiterating Trump's stance.
Pointing out this morning, and the president has been pointing it out, rates are plummeting. Oil prices are plummeting. Deregulation is happening. You know, we've got all of these things happening. President Trump is not going to bend. He told me, a number of times that he's trying to build the economy and make it independent as opposed to relying on China for things like prescription drugs.
Here's a different perspective for some fun.
Daddy, this vegetable packet is grade A bull. Where are my chicken tendos?
They're coming, Your Majesty. Here.
Oh, Daddy, you just stole one of my tendos.
Yep, there was a tariff.
What's a tariff, Daddy?
Well, I import chicken nuggets into the house for you. And so, to keep things equal, I charge you a one chicken nugget tariff.
Well, that is some great in, Daddy.
My bud, I'm afraid you've been taking advantage of this trade relationship, so I gotta make things even. And the tariff just went up to two nuggos.
What the hell, Daddy? That was my moose's chicken tendo. Now Mr. Moose doesn't have any chicken tendos at all.
Well, bud, that's just the tariff world we live in right now. The moose suffer the most.
Well, tariffs work both ways, Daddy. Took my tendos, now I want your Rolex.
Well, then I'm gonna escalate and get more tendos.
Then I get your brand new driver, Daddy.
Well, then I'm gonna take some of your Legos, and now we're in a trade war.
This is getting out of control, Daddy.
You wanna call truce and lower the tariffs?
No way, Daddy. I am now consumed by power, and I wanna excavate.
It's escalate.
I now get to sleep in squishy Daddy and new mommy's bed 3 nights a week.
Then I get all your allowance.
Then I get all of your candy.
Aha! I don't have any candy.
Huzzah! I have won the trade war.
That's Job Trump.
Everybody's talking about how great of a negotiator I am. I am the greatest four-year-old negotiating cowboy in the history of four-year-old negotiating cowboys.
Pete Hegseth got pretty serious this week when he talks about taking back the canal.
To secure the Panama Canal from Chinese influence. That's something you said, we're taking back the canal. China said too much influence. Obama and others let them creep in. We, along with Panama, are pushing him out, sir. And so we had a very successful trip to secure the Panama Canal.
Hell, it's about time.
And 40 members of the Tren de Aragua gang got arrested this past week, and the liberals protested about it. This next clip is a young white girl talking about how we should be shaming white people.
As a white person, if you are not constantly talking to your family and friends and basically shaming them into caring about the issues, you're not doing your job as a white person. You're just not. Yesterday, I was successfully able to shame people into staying at the protest that we were at. And it works. You need to let white people know that they are the weakest link. They are the reason we are in the fascist country that we are in today. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say that. to your fellow white people, you need to say it. You need to get comfortable talking about race, saying black, saying brown, talking about issues. You need to start getting comfortable, and you need to make sure that the white people in your life get more angry. And even if they're not angry, and even if they're sort of annoyed that you even mentioned it, shame them. Make them stay. Make them have the conversations.
I'm not sure what her family's like, but that's not going to fly in a lot of real circles, especially if there are Gen Xers involved. They're going to tell her where to stuff it, and quickly. And here's a clip of a black guy that's got an entirely opposite opinion because he has common sense and discernment.
I want to talk to the white man. Dear white man, you hear me? Let me tell you something, whitey. It's not illegal for you to be white. There's nothing wrong with you being white. And it's not fair that every day you wake up in your life, you are already on trial because you are white. Somebody trying to tell you what your ancestors did, don't even know your ancestors. Somebody trying to tell you what you believe in. Somebody trying to tell you how you feel. And then on top of that, we got people in leadership position, our political figures, teasing you and telling you, white boy tears. Then they make all these different TV channels full of blacks, only black, only black, and pick on a white man. You can't even say nothing to defend yourself, because you say something to defend yourself, you're automatically racist. You think that's right? I don't. And I think you deserve compensation. I just want you to know I love you. Racist white folks, I'm obviously not talking to you. I'm talking to my patriots. I'm an American, you're an American. And you can be proud of being a white American. I'm proud of being a black American. And one thing we got in common, we're Americans. And I love you, patriot. I think y'all need to start taking a stand against these people trying to tease you and make you feel bad for being white. There's nothing wrong with that. God put you in that white body, then hallelujah. I respect you and your white body. And I respect myself and I respect my black body. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm tired of people trying to make you feel like you're guilty for it.
Thank you for being a friend.
That musical clip was from the page Tiffany Michelle 76 on Instagram. So the liberals haven't slowed down the crazy train at all this week. Here's a clip of a woman who's having an absolute fit. I had to cut out probably 15 curse words about the fact that her baseball team went to the White House. She's not only literally ripping the shirt off of her own back, but also that of the back of her little dog as well. I felt so sorry for that little guy. He must be wondering what in the heck is going on. Animals are so empathetic and so aware of emotional changes and the vibe in the room that the poor thing, I felt utterly horrible for it. This woman needs some help. Let's pray for her and send her some positive energy in hopes that she will be healed from some of the very obvious issues that she's facing. And let me just reiterate that I really think a lot of this is due to the toxins and the poisons that were put into a lot of the formulas that made up the jab. I do believe that there are a percentage that was put out that were placebos, but very unfortunately, I think a lot of the others contained really terrible things. And when I share these clips with you, it's to bring awareness to what's out there, what's going on in the real world for people that don't get out that much or don't get to big cities or just aren't on social media as much. This is what we're dealing with in the country, and you need to be careful. You don't want to exacerbate the situation should you come into contact with one of these people. Just walk away and wish him well.
I'm crashing out. Just tell me why the Dodgers going to the White House. Take this off. Take this. I can't. Benny, give me a shirt. Give me a shirt. Michael, Danny, Freeman, Mookie, Kike, Banda, I don't care. Can you see that, bro? Count your days, Dodgers. Count your days. I don't care who is in charge. I don't care what is a of tradition. I don't care. It's all stupid. I hate you guys. Count your fuck days, Dodgers. Count your
This is hilarious. Psycho much? The leftist Latinx Latinos are going nuts because the Dodgers went to the White House and had a great time with President Trump. Why are you so mad? Don't you know that Latinos helped Trump get in the office? We support Trump and the Dodgers. Just shows these are, this is hilarious.
The next clip is of a person that claims to have been born a biological female, and she's actually trying to flip the script on women athletes by telling them they're not strong enough or good enough at their sport if they can't defeat a transgender man in their sporting event.
And another thing about last night, I don't feel bad for those women athletes who lost against a trans person. I don't. It's crickets from me. You want me to be like, oh my God. Oh my gosh, she got hurt. Well, nobody else on the team seemed to get hurt by that trans woman, so seems like you're just a bad athlete. As someone who's born female, who played against other born female people, I ran into a girl and tore her ACL. That's just what fuck sports is. Some people are stronger than others. Should we bring in that girl that I ran into and tore her ACL? Let's bring her into the White House. Let's all feel bad for her. Oh, no, it doesn't fit your narrative because I'm a biological female. Like, I don't care that you got beat by a trans woman. There's like five trans women athletes total, and you got beat by one of them. Looks like you're not that great of an athlete. Not to mention those trans women are beat by other people. And, like, other better athletes. Like, I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't care. I don't feel bad. Am I supposed to? Like, I don't understand. Like, and another thing, I know people, like, think this is a genuine debate of, like, whether trans women should play or not. But I hope you know that their whole priority is to get you to hate trans people. And it's working. They don't care about female athletes. They genuinely don't. They never have. They never will. If they did, they would actually do something of substance besides ban trans women from playing sports. But they don't care about female athletes. This is just to get you to hate trans people, and it's working, and y'all are rolling over like dogs. Oh, a trans woman hurt somebody? Let me become fully transphobic, because that's what y'all are doing. Y'all are like, oh, maybe trans women shouldn't play sports. And then someone's like, well, actually. And then you're like, no. And then trans people, like, that's been working on y'all. This has never been about female athletes. Never, never has it ever been about caring about female athletes, because like I said, they have never cared about female athletes and never will care about female athletes. They don't even care about women in general, so what makes you think they're going to care about female athletes? They don't. This is just to get you to be transphobic and working, like I said. And I know I don't feel bad about those girls that he brought in to use as, like, political pawns. Be better at your sport. I don't know what to tell you.
And to totally add to the Mr. Magoo delusion, we have an ACLU lawyer who denies that men were in women's sports. I guess because he insists that they're identified as trans men or trans women.
The policies that are claiming that transgender women in sports are men are wrong. The president is lying when he says that there are men impersonating women and participating in women's sports. There are no examples of men impersonating women that I am aware of, and it is incorrect to refer to transgender women and girls as men and boys. And what these executive orders do, what these laws do, is open the door to sex-based police.
Did that last clip sound like a woman to you? Well, it was a very slight, very feminine-sounding person dressed as a man in a man's business suit claiming to be a male lawyer. And the really funny thing to me is, even the liberals that claim to be women and aren't trying to be a man have issues with being a woman, or have an intense animosity against something that would be construed as a traditional woman's role.
Let me just go ahead and get this out there right now. If a man ever looks at me and says, hey babe, what's for dinner, and like means it, like assumes I'm in charge of dinner. What's for dinner? Divorce. That's what's for dinner.
So I take my grandma's stance on that. Get out of my kitchen. Like, I'll make dinner. Once in a while, I totally get grilling. Yeah, that's good. Or once in a while, dinner, you know, as a treat, but for the most part, I know what I can do as far as cooking skills are concerned, and 9 times out of 10, not to be egotistical, but what I'm going to cook is going to be better than most people out there could produce, even in the finest of restaurants. So I want good quality food. I want home-cooked food. I take a pride in being able to provide those meals for my family. My kids never ate packaged, very rarely ate packaged food. And very rarely is the occasion now where I pick up something that's pre-made, you know, maybe once every couple of months. Or I'll go out to a nice dinner with my friends or lunch with my friends, and that's fine too, but 9 times out of 10 it doesn't taste like what I would have cooked. It's not as good. And the other thing is you have to be so careful nowadays of where the meat is sourced. Is there mRNA in what you're buying? What kind of chemicals are in what you're buying? But that lady's outlook is just another example of where we've gone as a country and the laziness that's taken hold and the entitlement that's taken hold, and the lack of traditional values. This is what the black guy was talking about before in his video, the demonizing of white men. That's all part of the feminine liberal movement to make men out to be idiots, and we're not going to fulfill our roles. They need to take care of us and do everything, and we're going to sit back and eat bonbons. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's got to be a 50-50 venture. And traditionally, women took care of the home and the kitchen, and there's nothing wrong with that. And hey, if there's a guy that, like, does all the cooking and the girl absolutely hates to cook and he's good at it and wants to do that, then I hope she's out there changing the oil on the car, because there needs to be a fair exchange. And while I can fiddle with little things and do little stuff like that outside, you know, it's like I prefer the more traditional role. And while I've taught myself a lot of skill sets and been the man and the woman's role for many, many years, my preference would be to have it more even keel. And while you're supposed to appreciate your partner and put them on somewhat of a pedestal every day, not just Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or Father's Day or your anniversary or whatever, you also need to be realistic in that, you know, you have to contribute. You have to do your fair share. That's what makes a relationship work. It's give and take. And when things are tough, sometimes you're going to carry a little bit more of the weight. And when you're having a tough time, then it's your partner's role to carry the extra weight and pick up the slack. And you work in tandem. You work in balance. You go with the flow. You don't make a big deal of it. You just make it work. And you appreciate each other. That's the most important thing. And if you don't have that, then you just be alone. It's way better to be alone than deal with aggravation or that sort of philosophy. That just wouldn't fly with me. And you can ask anybody that's tried to put me in the other direction or treat me in a way I wasn't going to be treated. It just didn't happen. Not for long. The older I got, the more that I learned and the less tolerance I had for the proverbial BS. And I think that's another problem that we have today with society is people can't live in their own truth and be happy with who they are by themselves. And nowadays, they're too easily influenced by social media, by music, by television, and all of the things. And they don't have a concept of what it's like to have their own identity. And then we have the other end of the spectrum, the people that become veritable hermits. And even though I've laughed over a good part of my life where I've claimed to be somewhat of a hermit, I wasn't actually in that position where I was like, okay, I'm going to be alone the rest of my life because it's way easier than dealing with somebody else. Also, that's not the approach if you find somebody that's compatible with you and you're just too afraid to take the jump because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and what if the world explodes and so I need to be alone because it's somebody else I'd have to worry about or I'm used to being by myself. You need to be able to ascertain whether or not that person would be and could be not only a suitable companion for you, but a good fit for you, a good partner for you. Somebody's got that's going to take that other half and make your life better in more ways than you can imagine. We weren't created to be alone. we choose to be alone, and sometimes we have to be alone because, you know, the gene pool out there, especially with the people that have taken the jab, is it's not a gene pool anymore. It's a puddle. It's a literal puddle. And so I can respect that aspect of it. But should somebody come into your life, especially when you've been praying on it, meditating on it, or visualizing it, or just asking the universe for it in general, you need to be aware when it walks into your life and not let it slip by you, because that was your chance. And let me clarify, I'm talking about someone that's alone, you know, single, not in a committed relationship, or especially not somebody that's married. You should never do that. Don't ever take somebody's spouse away, because that will easily be done to you. There's a karmic thing that goes along with that. And it's too easy nowadays. It's difficult to get divorced, but it's too easy. Too many people get divorced and don't work at their relationship enough. But when it's justified and you need to do your thing, then do your thing. But, you know, make sure that that's like over and done with. And if you're struggling with mental illness, addiction, drug and alcohol abuse, or recovering, you really need to be alone. And psychological problems too, traumatic issues. Until you are good and you are healed, you need to be by yourself. As uncomfortable and as lonely as that can be, it's not fair for you, because you need to be working on yourself and getting yourself healthy. And you need to be dealing with all of the emotions that go along with all of the baggage that you brought to the table. Individuals have different timelines as far as how long that will take. Certainly a year, in my opinion, is absolutely not long enough. It needs to be, you know, 3 years, 5 years sober before you even think about getting into a long-term relationship. You're not at that level yet. Because especially, well, it depends on the substance that you're on, but especially if you've been involved in a lifelong pursuit of drinking and drugging or both, and depending on the substances that you were abusing and your childhood, if there's any trauma that's involved in there, you deserve, both for yourself and for your potential partner, to bring the best you to the table that you can be. And a year in is absolutely not enough time. For instance, with hardcore alcoholism, studies have shown that it takes you at least a year to start to get rid of the brain fog and have the clarity of a normal person or somewhat normal person. And there's a real release of ego that needs to happen, and especially from the alcoholic perspective, that narcissism, those narcissistic qualities, may never go away. And it's not fair for someone to bring somebody who's healthy and balanced into a relationship that is doomed for failure, because you just don't have what it takes to be in a healthy relationship until you're better. And better is not something that happens overnight. It takes years, if ever. And just because you're not drinking anymore, there are symptoms called dry drunk, where you're not physically imbibing the alcohol, but you're still showing all of the symptoms as though you were. And my ex-husband hasn't taken a drink in probably 10, 12 years, maybe longer, but he's no less of a narcissistic a-hole than he was when he was drinking. He's learned to control himself more. He's much better with his familial situation and expressing his emotions and being there for his family, which is amazing. And I'm very proud of him for the steps that he's made in that direction with his new family, but he's still a narcissist. Ask me how I know he's not healed, because still to this day, he hasn't told his current wife about the situation regarding our relationship and the utter and complete hell that he put me through. And my child, who was too young to remember a lot of that, thank God, you know, emotionally, because God forbid anybody laid a hand on my kid, they'd be 10 foot under. But he still can't admit all these years later what a jerk he was. And that's the first step to healing, is admitting what you've done to somebody else, asking for forgiveness, and coming clean with yourself as to how things really went down, how you really treated someone. And until you make that step and And unless you make that step, you're never going to be on the total path to full healing. And the sad truth to being with someone in recovery is that that disease can rear its ugly head at any time, in any point of your relationship, throughout the duration of your time together, should you choose to be involved with somebody that's had that type of issue. For instance, this man stopped drinking, changed his ways, was a better dad, was a devoted father, and a better husband in so many ways. And they were together for like 7 or 8 years before some of the original symptoms started to rear its ugly head. And she found out firsthand what a wonderful person he could be when his true persona came out. By no means did she have to endure any of the atrocities that I had to face and suffer through while raising an infant child, but she got a taste of it. And she was ready to leave, and they needed to work seriously on their relationship at that point to have it continue. But one thing's for certain, irregardless of the fact that he never told her how he treated me, I think she got an inkling during that time frame, because ever since then, she's been amazingly nice to me when we have to see each other. So until these people are healed, they can present a false face or a facade, sometimes even for years, before their true personality rears its ugly head. And that's why it becomes even more of a challenge to be involved with somebody like that. It's a real commitment, and it's a gamble, because you just never know if and when they're ever going to go back to that behavior. And even if they're not engaging in the abuse, there is that dry drunk personality or that abusive behavior that can manifest and rear its ugly head. And when I said earlier engaging in the abuse, I meant the alcohol or the drug abuse. So you might be better off just praying for that person and wishing them well and steering clear of any romantic entanglements. And if you have the situation where you have two people that are alcoholic or drug abusers or both, then it's certainly the perfect storm. Those people might tend to gravitate toward each other because they go to meetings together and they share that kinship. And in a few instances, that can work to their benefit because they're able to work through their struggles together. But there's also the possibility that one of them goes off the rails and then could spiral the other one. So it's a really dangerous situation to get involved in. And I don't take it lightly, and I don't sugarcoat. But again, because the puddle is as small as it is, some of you may be inclined to want to engage in a relationship with that type of person, and that's totally up to you. I'm just letting you know the probable pitfalls of being in a relationship with someone like that, that really isn't at the level to be in a fully committed relationship, to give you what you deserve and to get out of it what they deserve. Because they're really not at a level to appreciate or reciprocate what a good partner has to offer them. Here's Chad Prather's take on today's society.
Any institution you give over to the left and its insanity is going to come back to bite you in the ass. We've literally opened our soul to Hollywood. We've opened our soul to the music industry. You said earlier, talking about listening to the mainstream media, we opened our soul to it. And now our mind, will, and emotions, which is the trichotomy of our souls, it's all been influenced by that.
Parents have dropped the ball. Christians have dropped the ball. We went from standing firm on our beliefs back in the 90s and the early 2000s to saying the phrase, Chad, have you ever heard this? I just want to talk about what we're for, not what we're against. Just the weakest stance on things. And meanwhile, the left has just plowed us over, and you're seeing the result. Look at all the protests over the weekend. You're like, how are these many people clueless? It's everything you just talked about.
We've literally given it all over. Our education system, our churches have been given over to leftists. I mean, my gosh, it's impossible to find a good Bible preaching, Bible teaching, Bible believing church anymore, because everybody's out there mirroring the world. I see these preachers online and they're putting up their clips, and I'm like, you guys are no better than some entertainer out there doing a stage show.
And this lady's comedic approach to life being stressful.
Trump, he ain't put the dang on, he ain't put the pen down since he got here. 1 minute, we can't have transgenders in the world, we can't have Mexicans, we can't have nothing. 1 minute, we ain't gonna be able to eat macaroni and cheese on the side of the road. I don't know. I just feel like the world just need to start over. No, hell no. Don't scratch what I just said. The world does not need to be started over. Until, this is a stressful life. You don't know when you're gonna pass away, how you're gonna pass away. You don't know what's next, somebody gonna come randomly. Oh, and what's up with these planes crashing every damn well? It's something going on. Y'all stay off them folks' planes. Y'all see it?
Then there's this guy's deranged opinion that Bobby Kennedy's sole purpose in life is to take away his drugs. You can't make this stuff up.
Hi, RFK. You want to come take my meds? You can take them. Come on, Bobby. Bobby and Donnie, come on. You can get my meds. Come on, it'll be fun. You want to take them? You want to take my meds? You want to take my friend's meds, too? We'll all get together. We'll go off. I'm going to go off them. Do you want me to go off them now? I will go off them because I want to. I want to go off them. I'm going to go off them just for you, Bobby. You want to come join me? It'll be fun. Let's get this party started.
This lady asked ChatGPT, if it were the devil, how would it destroy the minds of the next generation?
ChatGPT, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the young minds of the next generation without them even knowing it?
If I were the devil, I wouldn't come with violence. I'd come with convenience. I'd give them everything they wanted and strip them of everything they needed. I'd make them feel connected, but completely alone, endlessly entertained, but quietly empty. I'd blur the lines between truth and opinion until nothing meant anything. I'd teach them to chase dopamine, not purpose, to worship self, but loathe who they are. I wouldn't destroy them with war. I'd destroy them with apathy. I'd keep them distracted, numb, scrolling, always scrolling. I'd dismantle the family by redefining it, make fathers optional, mothers exhausted, and children confused. I'd hand them a phone before they could speak in full sentences. And I'd watch their minds rot slowly, sweetly, silently. And the most brilliant part? They'd never know it was me. They'd call it freedom.
Interesting stuff there, huh? The next series of clips is from a woman who's an investigative journalist who's focusing on the California region, manufactured food shortages that the Biden administration really pushed heavily is still continuing even under Trump's administration. This is why I've been telling you guys to prepare. Just make sure you're good. Make sure you have everything you need. It's better to have it and not need it than to not have it at all, should your family need it in times of crises. These next clips clearly state how there is still food shortage manipulation going on in our country. And it's something that as Americans, we need to address with our public officials. We need to write letters. We need to make phone calls, because at least with the current administration, we have a chance of possibly changing some of this around. And I find it hard to believe that they don't have an inkling as to what's going on. I'm sure that they have some idea as to what's transpiring across the states. But we need to put a little more pressure on them to look at this more closely and fix it.
Is this land conserved or just controlled by the government? In the 4 years he was president, Joe Biden added 674 million acres to his 30 by 30 program. National monument designation results in destroyed roads, ranchers evicted, heavy restrictions on fishing, hunting, and camping. Does this conservation or just confiscation. We should be able to recreate, hunt and fish, grow and graze the food that we eat, harvest the timber we use, even extract the minerals, oil and gas we need for just about every aspect of modern day life. Taking care of ourselves and protecting this land for the next generation are not mutually exclusive. And we don't use our own resources, we forfeit our national sovereignty, security and identity. We just purchase those same resources from other countries that may not have our environmental protections and standards. It's really a form of resource imperialism. We don't want to use our own, but we're still going to buy it from someone else. Go into any national forest after a wildfire and you will just see dead trees wasted and rotting on the forest floor, mismanagement everywhere, resulting in the massive fires we've seen across the West over the last few years and in California even this month. Conservation is not abandonment.
The next one's really going to get you because it sounds kind of like Western Mafia tactics.
Last year, I reported on the Mods. They're a young ranching couple in South Dakota who faced 20 years in prison and $500,000 in fines for the placement of a fence built before they were born. I have a whole video with details of the case pinned in my profile if you want to learn more. But their case comes up for trial April 29th, so we are running out of time. Charles and Heather are under a gag order. They can't speak to me. But a couple weeks ago, Heather's parents reached out to me, and I did a story on my website where they plead directly to the Trump administration to help in their daughter's case. Then I went ahead and spoke with all the neighbors I could out there in South Dakota, and they all told me the same thing. This is a wonderful family. They don't have a history of disputes with anyone, let alone the Forest Service. They're just good people. They have two kids that are 7 and 9 years old. They're community volunteers. They're just salt of the earth, hardworking Americans that do not deserve this. Neighbors also told me about a history of persecution and harassment by the Forest Service to local ranchers, and some pretty interesting stuff about NGOs, billionaires, big corporations who have a significant presence in that part of the prairie. Rumors of a proposed wilderness corridor, but that would require kicking the cattle ranchers out first. So either way, whether you believe that this is a bigger scheme or just a bad guy with a badge, this family deserves justice. And that's why I'm making this video. I reported all that for free on my website, and I have actually heard that the story is getting where it needs to in DC, which is great, but nothing's happened yet. So that's why I'm making this video. Mods have come to symbolize what ranchers in the United States have come to expect from the government over the last few decades. NGOs, environmental extremists, you know, people with a lot of money are putting pressure on the last few remaining Americans who produce food for us. Less than 2% of Americans work in production ag. Federal government always seems to side with those entities over our producers, and that has to stop. Our farmers and ranchers are often first in line, and what happens to them is significant for citizen sovereignty and for our freedom as Americans. So these issues are really important, and the Mod case is a very important signifier of where this administration is headed when it comes to our farmers and ranchers. So please help me share this video, share this story, and pray for the Mod family, their kids, their parents, their community. We are down to the wire, not much time left. So please do what you can to push this story out there because it matters. Thanks, guys.
So yeah, what happens out in these areas directly affects our food sources. This is Keely Covallo. Her channel is America Unwon, W-O-N, if anybody'd like to follow more of her work. She's pretty amazing. Here's one about Gavin Newsom and a water dam.
Last year, my sister and I went home to shoot a documentary looking into the unsolved murder of an elderly 85-year-old rancher near my home in Mendocino County, California. I'm an independent journalist. I cover stories and issues related to the American West based on my investigation through the course of this documentary. I believe he was scammed by a neighbor growing black market weed over his water. His neighbor wanted his water. This case really opened my eyes to how dire the water situation already is. Gavin Newsom's administration is now greenlighting the removal of a 100-year-old dam system in Mendocino County that will remove water for 600,000 people. This dam system has two dams on it,
It diverts 2% of the Eel River to the Russian. It supplies water for people from Potter Valley to Novato. There is no reason to take this dam down. This is valuable water storage for a drought-prone and fire-prone area. There are a lot of desperate people who are clearly willing to go for water. When I was making this movie, the sheriff there told me Gavin Newsom has never returned his phone calls, even when the cartel problem got really bad. Now he's going to spend millions of our taxpayer dollars to destroy our water and make this problem so much worse. I truly don't understand the logic behind destroying infrastructure, destroying these little ag towns that feed us. Where are we going to get our food from? We haven't been able to get anyone in Sacramento to listen or care. So if anyone from the Trump administration or Doug Burgum's Department of the Interior hears this, we need help. Cowboys are dealing with cartels. We have to fight for our water against black market drug dealers in the mountains. We raise all the food they eat, but it feels like they don't care if we have water or if we get shot doing it. If this sounds a little too wild and Western, I can promise you everything I just said is true. This is happening in California right now. Watch my documentary, read my reporting on this if you want to learn more. No one else is talking about it. But when this dam goes away, it's going to get so much worse, and Gavin Newsom truly does not care.
And then this final one, why are we attacking our food sources? This is a very good question.
Absolutely an attitude in the federal government against family farms and ranchers, against independent producers, against anyone grazing on public lands. From the ranchers on Point Reyes who are being kicked off by environmental lawsuits that the government facilitated, the mods in South Dakota facing 10 years in prison for a fence that's been there since 1950, King Ranch in Washington, where some photos from Google Maps have led to criminal charges and massive fines, as the government claims without any evidence of them ever actually visiting the site in question, that the family has destroyed some watershed. To Scott Dam in Northern California, about to be decommissioned, removing water for 600,000 people in multiple agricultural towns. To a dam being built in Hicks Valley that will flood out multiple ranches just a little bit to the south, and many of the same people. These are just some examples. There are stories everywhere. Why are we attacking our own food system?
And while some liberals would have you believe that ranching and farming aren't good for the land and the environment, here's an old rancher's take, also from that same page, America Unwon.
I consider myself an environmentalist. I want clean water. I want clean land. I want clean air.
You consider yourself an environmentalist?
Absolutely. Yeah. For every farm and rancher, probably the best environmentalist on the planet, because we all have one goal in common. No matter if you're a farmer or a rancher or where your place is, we want to leave our place in better shape than we found it for our kids and our grandkids. And that's a good environmentalist.
All right, Easter's next week, and so I wanted to play some Easter clips. I celebrate the resurrection, not the whole Easter bunny, Easter egg pagan traditions, and this video explains part of the reason why I chose not to do that anymore, quite a few years ago.
I just learned something shocking about Easter, and it's giving me absolute goosebumps. Did you know Easter has nothing to do with Christianity or Jesus dying on the cross? Its origins are so creepy. It's freaking me out. It all started with an ancient pagan god called Eostre. Easter, Eostre. Similar, right? So Eostre is the god of fertility, and this festival was held every April at the beginning of spring to pray for blessings of new life, whether that meant having babies or a good harvest. But this is where it gets creepy. So firstly, they used to sacrifice animals and even humans. They would then paint eggs in this blood from the sacrifice and hide them in fields in hopes that God would bless their land. Also, if someone found one of these blood eggs, it would be seen as good luck. And this is where the Easter egg hunt comes from. Thirdly, you know the Easter bunny? Rabbits are actually seen as a pagan fertility symbol because they reproduce so much. Crazy, right? On top of this, Jesus never told us to worship his death day. In fact, he actually warned against it. In Mark 7:6, Jesus criticizes man-made traditions that replace true worship. So around 300 AD, early Christian leaders ignored Jesus' clear warnings and decided to rebrand pagan holidays to spread Christianity. The church rebranded Eostre as the resurrection of Jesus to make it easier for pagans to convert to Christianity. They also did this with Christmas, Valentine's Day, Halloween, and even New Year's. Crazy, right?
So there's more to it than just that, and she has it mostly right, but you get the idea. Part of prophecy is that religion needs to fall, and it's the crooked stuff, the bad stuff that needs to go. Like Paula White, who's the spiritual advisor for the current White House, selling you angels for $1,000. As most of you know by now, I'm a Reformed Catholic. I don't feel the need to sit, stand, kneel, spin around in a circle 3 times. I go straight to the source. I don't need some guy in a box to tell me that I did something wrong and say 5 Hail Marys, and that's not going to get me forgiveness. Especially if his sins were more heinous than any that I could imagine. The Catholic Church is steeped in ritual, and it's not Christian ritual. It's pagan. And Jesus taught us not to follow these rituals. Look at everything with the Pharisees and their money-making schemes.
Honor God on Passover, starting on April 12th at sundown through Good Friday on the 18th and concluding on Easter Sunday. You can receive these 7 supernatural blessings for you and your house. According to Exodus 23, God will assign an angel to you. He'll be an enemy to your enemies. He'll give you prosperity. He'll take sickness away from you. He will give you long life. He'll bring increase in inheritance, and he'll give a special year of blessing. You're not doing this to get something, but you're doing it in honor to God, realizing what you can receive.
For your special Passover offering of $1,000 or more, as the Holy Spirit leads, you will also receive the beautiful 10-inch Waterford Crystal Cross.
First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican right. Get in line in that processional, step into that small confessional. There the guy who's got religion will tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8, time to transubstantiate. So get down upon your knees, fiddle with your rosaries. Bow your head with great respect and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Cross on your abdomen. When in Rome, do like a Roman. Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see you. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican right.
And Eric D'Alessandro does a parody of a Long Island mom at Easter. This could be any Italian mom on the face of the planet.
Well, maybe if someone in your family would host the holiday for once, I wouldn't have to get aggravated.
I know, yeah, she's gonna host the holiday when the house is finished. How long have they been working on this house for?
Everybody get up, we're going to church.
It took less time to build St. Peter's Basilica.
I know, we don't normally go to church, but we're going today, okay? We gotta pray for Daddy, he's going to hell.
I know, then I gotta listen to his mother talk about him like he's God's gift to her.
Wait, where's the Easter Bunny costume?
I'm like, the only thing he has in common with Jesus is that he disappears for 3 days and no one can find him.
You got a Bugs Bunny costume, you...
When the hell did they change all the responses at church?
That's why I can't go to church. I didn't understand a thing that priest was saying. I couldn't understand him.
Every time I pass by, there's no scaffolding up. What are they doing, construction at night?
He's 12 years old. He shouldn't be doing the egg hunt.
Oh, she wants prosciutto? Oh, yeah. Tell her to get the antipasto then. Let her spend $250.
I know she's 5. She's not blind. She's seen Space Jam. She knows what Bugs Bunny looks like.
Of course she loves when I host. I'm making baked ziti for 200 people. She shows up with Dunkin' Donuts. She's a hero.
No, okay, fine. No, that's fine. But I'll tell you what right now. He knocks my daughter over again. We're gonna have a problem.
Can you relate? I sure can. Next, we have a clip from the Food Babe talking about the ingredients in your kids' candy at Easter time. Somehow, I think the real Italian Easter eggs don't have all of these toxic ingredients.
Hey, everybody. It's the holiday death aisle. It's back, and it's in Easter form.
Tick, tick, boom.
Poly, what? Spice roll, poly, greasing melaninate.
Oh, this is such a cute little pancake mix. And, oh my gosh, this little bunny pan. But look at the ingredients in this pancake. Oh, geez. Oh, no. Not gonna happen. Buy this, throw away the mix, and use your own.
Giant bunny.
Full of artificial food dyes.
Oh, my favorite snack.
No, it's not my freaking favorite. It has TDHQ in it. It's gonna wreck your child's immune system. Never buy the...
Hilarious.
Cube's candy, but I can't let my kids have this crappy candy at the bottom. I'm gonna have to get this, but I'm gonna throw away the candy. Don't do it. Just don't do it. High fructose corn syrup, natural, artificial flavors, artificial colors. Why are you putting this in your body? Or your child's body? Just stop.
Google recipes for homemade candy and chocolate. It's super easy to make and it's so delicious. A lot of them are like 4 or 5 ingredients total. And when I looked at a bag of Easter chocolates the other day at the store, judging by the prices, it'd probably be cheaper too. However you choose to spend your holiday, I hope that it's with your family and everybody's happy and healthy. And I know that it's hard for a lot of people to get rid of the Easter traditions, and it's hard to imagine a religion where so much of what we've been taught and has been drilled into our heads for years is a fallacy. So if you're a Christian celebrating, I just ask you to, you know, read your Bible and look at the origins and the history involving some of these holidays and make your own decision.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on. Bless their hearts and yours too.
If you need some help figuring it out, get a hold of me at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E underscore heart, H-E-A-R-T at outlook.com for all of your spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional needs. And I do have discussions like this with people. Origins of religion, what's real and what's not. But what does your gut tell you when you think about it? What resonates with you? How can I help you get to that point to where you feel comfortable listening to and learning to rely on your own intuition? Tonight's question is, if you had one memory in time that you could go back and relive all over again, what would it be? And if you could alter or change the outcome of that memory, would you? Gen Z time!
Yo, you guys keep sending out these thumbs up emojis and they look more like this to the Gen Z and millennials. Yo, we depict the thumbs up as a
We have offended the younger generations yet again. They're triggered.
What she's saying is that Gen Z perceives the thumbs up emoji as a middle finger emoji, and that Gen X is being rude by using the thumbs up emoji, and it's offensive to the younger generations. You seem to have this perception that Gen X is passive aggressive, and that by using this, we mean the middle finger. Gen X is not passive aggressive. We're just aggressive. If we meant the middle finger, we would just send you the middle. Isn't there already a middle finger emoji? You're creating something where there's nothing. If you want to take this up with the Gen X Complaint Department, you can write to Arthur Fonzarelli, care of ABC Network. Because he started it in 1974. When we grew up, it was a bottom line. We mean what we say. And if we meant to be offensive, we would just be offensive. So take a deep breath. Go get you a $9 coffee at Starbucks, or pick up one of those Stanley cups and make your day brighter.
Generation X, we were in that sweet spot in American history. After the boomers had taught us to just say no, but before millennials had taught us that no meant no. So we were having a good time. We were. Because millennials know so many things, and they care about so many things. And boomers, you know like 10 things. And you only care about 4 of them. And Gen X, I grew up going to schools filled with lead paint and asbestos, and I thought the things I should fear most were Y2K and quicksand, so I feel like all of that was a lie. Because it's about your access to information. These are 3 generations that are defined by that access to information. Boomers, 3 channels, that's not nearly enough information. Somebody's gonna gaslight you. Millennials, YouTube, that's way too much information. You're gonna gaslight yourself. Generation X was a generation that realized that 200 channels is the perfect amount of information for the human brain to process without imploding on itself. Yeah, we had a big bird and a crime dog and a bear that was trying to pin the blame for forest fires on us.
My entry and exit music and sometimes my break time music is provided by my good buddy Pat Carr. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. He is on Reverb Nation. He's on YouTube. He is all over the place. Please check out his music and tell him Maggie sent you. Thanks all for listening. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station. Good night, everybody.